Well, sunny beaches of South Florida, is that you? Hello! Oh my gosh, how in the heck are you? You look amazing today. It is so good to see you again. Come on in, have a seat. Follow us or subscribe or whatever it is your medium requires and stay a while. We'd love to have you as part of our family. Say, while you're here, can I get you something to think today?
So about a year and a half ago, my friend tells me how my actions towards her are daddy-like. Because when I spend an afternoon with her, I brought a box of garden produce and snacks and things, honestly, that I wanted her to try and enjoy because I like them. When I moved the box from the backseat of my car to the backseat of her car, she responded with, "Aw, just like daddy." You know, I hadn't ever had a grown woman say something like that to me. Honestly, I felt a little self-conscious about my age because she's a few years younger than me, even though we've known each other for most of our lifetimes. So out of embarrassment to what I have accustomed to the secular usage of who's your daddy, I followed up her comment with, or a husband. There wasn't an inkling of kinky in her comment. It took me a year to figure that out. When I asked her what that meant to her, she responded with, "Daddy is a protector, provider, dominant figure, capable, experienced, chops wood, buys coal, holds me softly." Well, that definition replaced my preconceived notions, and I was actually, honestly, quite humbled and very emotional about how ennobling her comments were to me, particularly. I felt ordinary, just plain old dad, but what she saw was a glorious, honorable, showing up for it all, daddy. Now, if you don't already know this, daddies or single parents aren't able to activate their personal airplane mode. It's disabled most of the time. So Sunday night, Monday morning, I have a dream that I am talking to someone, and they tell me to listen to a noise that they are going to play for me or make for me. So in my dream, I intently listen. And in the distance, I can hear the clanking of something metallic falling onto the floor. It awakens me, literally. And I realize that the noise isn't happening in my dream, but rather in my house. My first thought is that the dog has just overturned the trash can to get to the chicken bones that we tossed away from yesterday's meal. So I rush into the kitchen to save her life from chicken bone shards or whatever, and to prevent a messy kitchen dog-tastrophe. And nothing. Nothing's spilled. Nothing's gotten into. I think, well, that's weird. Now, I know that the sound didn't match the pot that my favorite houseplant resides in, so if my son's angel dog is safe from the chicken bones and my gifted houseplant is okay, gosh, that's pretty much all I'm worried about, right? I mean, we'd have to make the dog into sausage if she touches that plant, so whatever else it is, I don't really care about. So I walk back to the bedroom, and I intentionally avoid looking at the clock because, well, I don't care to know what time my sleep was disturbed. It's my day off, after all. Not the night off, just the day off. And I'm going back to bed. Except for now I realize how dry my mouth is. So I get a drink of water with my curd jar cup on the microwave. Then I realize that I need to go pee. So after I head back into the bedroom and lay on the bed, wondering what in the heck I should be worried about. I can't sleep now because I'm remembering that I was told in my dream to listen to the sound. I think, gosh, anything that a dream wakes me up for ought to be a little important, right? So I get up again. This time I check the back porch. Nope. Aluminum trash can that holds the dog food is still upright. No raccoons. Nothing scavenging on the back porch this night. By the way, if you chase a raccoon out into the yard and bark at it like a dog, they will run straight up a tree. And it makes it really easy to, well, let's just say they don't eat the dog food or kill the chickens after that. So back to my dream awakened non-sleeping nightmare. I walk from the enclosed back porch into the living room and turn on a lamp. Well, there laying on the couch is the dog. Nothing out of the ordinary. On the floor is a metal bread pan. And as I look back to the dog, I see that next to her is some object that looks a bit out of place because it's the dough from the bread pan that I set in the sunny windowsill in my Sunday afternoon fashion so that it would rise and I could bake the bread and make the house smell like heaven. Well, the dough is half gone by now. So I take the rest away from the dog. Don't know what it's going to do to the dog. Find out later. I pick up the bread pan, realize that my son's phone is laying there on the couch where the throw pillows are supposed to be. I remember that he will be taking his phone to school today with my permission to check in with me if he goes to a friend's house after school. And I better make sure it's charged. So I pick it up to check the charge. 3%. Dang it, that must be the reason why my dream woke me up, right? So I go to plug it in, and it takes a quick hit, like it's charging and then clicks off. You know how those phones do that. So I pull out the cord and turn it around, hoping for a better connection on the other side. Now, you Apple phone owners will know exactly what I'm talking about. Then, as I put the cord in firmly, I look at the phone to make sure that it's keeping that little lightning symbol for charging. As I carefully put it down on the bookshelf, and in watching for the charging symbol, I noticed the time on the phone. Dang it! I didn't want to know that it was 4 a.m. I really didn't. My sleep now feels irreparably interrupted, because I'm thinking about not fully awakening so much that I am now nearly fully awake. But then it hits me. 4 a.m. in Arizona is 5 a.m. in Utah. I know that because I hate daylight savings time more than I hate a railroad tie creosote sliver shoved under my fingernail. I hate it more than putting four purple and orange stitches into my own chin after night swimming at a Scottsdale resort while I was living in Mesa, Arizona with cousins and other roommates in a rental house, blah, blah, blah. And definitely I hate daylight savings time more than having slow drivers pulling out in front of me on my way to work. Ugh, hate that. You know that wish you had that you were 007 and had those missile launchers on your car so you could pew, 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 the car right in front of you, blow it off the road so I don't have to slow down? Yeah, that's how I feel about daylight savings time. Well, then I realized that my daughter is leaving for work at 6 a.m. Utah time, which is 5 a.m. Arizona time, and that means I need to get up at 4:30 Arizona time, which is 5:30 Utah time, to make her breakfast so that she can leave by 5 Arizona time, which is 6 Utah time. Yeah. Now, I'm not only wide awake, but I am in a full fury mode over daylight savings time. Come on, Utah. Get your crap together and change it. I then take the bread pan and the dough and return to the kitchen. I dispose of the dough, put the bread pan next to the sink for washing in the morning, which is part of the normal morning routine on my days off. Then I go to the freezer, find a breakfast burrito I had purchased for myself a few days ago, and in an effort to preserve some sleep, I write a note, mostly in the dark, on the back of a bill from the power company so that my daughter knows where she can find some breakfast and I can go back to sleep. Well, by then I realize it's just after 5 o'clock Utah time, which is 4 o'clock Arizona time, and she isn't awake yet, and she's not getting ready for the day. So I return to my room and set an alarm for 30 minutes so that I can wake her in time for her to get ready and me to have just a little more sleep. Then I snuggle up next to my favorite plaid throw pillow, lay there in bed thinking, no one's going to believe this story. Or possibly many people are going to relate to this story, and so I better write it up, because when I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to remember this. So I grab my iPad mounted to the magic keyboard, and I begin to type. After getting mostly through everything, my 30-minute alarm goes off. Now I'm irritated, because the wake-up alarm I set to get my daughter out of bed by 5:30 Utah time, which is 4:30 Arizona time, is interrupting my scripting. So I growl as I go to turn it off. And then I go and open my daughter's door. Psst, hey, are you supposed to leave by 6 a.m. Utah time? Yeah, but not exactly 6, just something around that time. I have some alarms set. Oh, well, by now it's 4:45, Arizona time, which is 5:45 Utah time. The Utah time doesn't matter anymore. I have to consciously remind myself of this fact as I shut off my mental time zone adjuster. It doesn't matter because my son wakes up for school at 5:30 Arizona time, which is now 45 minutes away, and I consciously realize that. As I finish my scripting at 4:56 a.m., which is, who gives a flying leap about Utah time, my daughter's alarm goes off. Well, night interrupted by a weird dream telling me to listen for a noise, which caused me to wake up, walk through the house twice, find a dough pan that I hadn't forgotten to bake, the bored dog who couldn't resist eating it, replace throwaway pillows on the couch, plug in the cell phone, need to be charged, realize the time difference, my daughter needs to be off to work at a certain time, I promise to make her breakfast, impending wake-up time, blah, 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 and daylight saving time. I hate it. Well, you know what? If I wasn't a daddy, you couldn't pay me enough to do this. I love being a dad. Even though I'm not always so good at it, yet I do it. I show up as responsible as I know how. I would absolutely do it again if I had the chance. Not just for the intimate companionship, but for the love of having more children. A whole hockey team if possible. I love having the responsibility of caring for someone. Protecting them. Waking up in the middle of the night, worrying about them. Praying over them when they're sick and asking God to let me take the illness so that they can rest. It's not an easy job, even if you only do it decently. But it sure is fulfilling. I gave my sisters plenty of useless advice in raising their children before I have my own. And now I realize raising children is a very customized experience. Children are like fingerprints, and those fingerprints are everywhere and on everything. So good luck to you aspiring parents. My heartfelt condolences to you who are struggling with raising children or fertility issues. And in the middle of my voice-to-text scripting, the phone rings. At this point, my text-to-speech is still activated on my iPad as I'm working on this very script. Well, I jump from the bed and see that it's my daughter calling, the one that just left 10 minutes ago. This can't be good. I answer with,
"Are you okay? What? Just past the Chevron? You're just past the Chevron? I'll be right there. Bye."
She blew out a tire in her car. As I am sure many of you experience, we have a cell phone dead spot for about 12 miles of state highway. And we all know exactly the spots where we can call or text or just forget about technology being connected. Well, my daughter is miraculously calling me from the center of this dead zone with crystal clear reception for about 10 seconds, just long enough to convey her message and then the call drops. You know, I would complain more about that except for my friend Doug, who called me from Hawaii yesterday, had just as scratchy signal as we do. So I guess it's a thing in places, even on vacation island getaways. Anyhow, I scramble to get dressed into my favorite early morning scurrying daddy attire. You know, I don't know if the all-black attire is a subconscious way of me mourning my loss of sleep or not. I'll have to consult with my therapist on that. So, just as I am leaving the bedroom, I get the impression to grab my wallet. I mentally argue with myself that it's freaking 5 a.m. I'm only driving a couple of miles to get her. But the other side of me won't let go. So I surrender to the impression, grab my wallet, cell phone, run out the door. As I drive through town and down the road, I'm reminded of one of the many times my own father rescued me. At this particular time and memory I'm thinking about, I had a flip phone and a car that should have been made into number 10 cans a long time ago. Something had gone wrong with the fuel injection. Nothing that Ramsey's couldn't fix, except for the fact that I was on a signal-starved area in Dixie National Forest on Cedar Mountain. So I got out of the car, climbed on top of a tall stump near the side of the road, pulled out my flip phone, extended the antenna, Sammy, you know what I'm talking about, stood on one leg, reached my other arm into the air, and dialed my dad's number. Well, I heard him answer, but that was it. I could tell that he was still on the line, so I just talked loudly into the phone of my approximate location and...
Send a tow truck.
Well, he heard, and he did. About 45 minutes later, Hoyt's Towing came pulling up. Well, that daddy rescue memory is adorably interrupted when I see a small fawn in the headlights in front of me as I'm driving through the darkness of town. It hesitates in the middle of the road, you know, looks back and then forward, undecided as which way to go, and the little thing is paralyzed by its indecisiveness. So I start to slow down to calmer, and just then, out of the darkness behind it, comes this tall 3-point daddy buck. The thick antlers are pretty huge for a 3-point, and they look a lot like they're still wrapped in velvet. He ushers the young one across the road. They leap the fence together and disappear into the dark morning. It reminds me of Bambi and his daddy, the Great Prince of the Forest, a name which the DMV would absolutely make him abbreviate, by the way. With the sleep deprivation and possibly the memories, the moment in process, seeing that kind of daddying in nature struck a very tender chord with me. And I felt tears trickling down my cheeks. The similarities of that situation to my immediate and past experiences hits me like a ton of feathers. And to accentuate that, in the background, the Phil Wickham song, Till I Found You, was playing on my radio. Now, this daddy weeps when moments like that dogpile on top of each other, and it was so on that morning. I'm just really grateful that God trusts me enough to have my morning interrupted by daddy duties. Can you just imagine what our Heavenly Father goes through as he stays up all night worrying about us? I can't, to be honest with you, but I felt a small sliver that morning on a dark country road, darting around wildlife and rushing to the aid of one he has entrusted me with. As I got to the Chevron, I drove around the fuel station just to make sure she didn't limp the car back there and I misunderstood her message. Then, as I turned onto the highway, another thought sets in as I see a few cars streaming in the early morning hours. I see way off in the distance some flashing emergency lights. I feel the hair stand up on the back of my neck as this daddy lion mode activates. And as now it's obvious that I have a 19-year-old daughter with flashers on, stranded on the side of a state highway. I easily top 90 in the 1.5 miles from the turnoff to where she is. I pull in front of her so that she knows it's me. We pull the car farther off the road, unload her miscellaneous items into my car, lock hers up for later rescue and tire changing. But as I get down the road, I realize that my car, which I am now going to loan her for the day, doesn't have enough fuel. So I needed my wallet after all. We pull into the gas station, fill up my car, return home, drop me off. I walk up to the top of the steps on the lawn, wait there in the less dark hours of dawn. She sits in the driveway for a few moments, her foot on the brake pedal. I can hear some clanking inside the car. I'm wondering if she's accidentally unlatching the hood, thinking that it might be the emergency brake. But then I realize she's scooting the seat forward because my daddy long legs always have it pushed clear to the back. And then in an instant, the reverse lights slightly blink as she shifts into drive and zips off into the morning dawn. I look up and the red-eye Vegas flights blink through the sky as they're headed eastward. And the waning crescent moon is glowing through a thin layer of clouds. I point my phone towards the ground for some light across the lawn as I step on squeaky dog toys, thinking they're bodies of some innocent random creature the cats killed during the night. The phone is on night mode with a black screen, so very little light is available for any kind of makeshift flashlight. I turn the face of the phone back towards me, and I see the notice from Apple Maps. You have 23 minutes to go on your drive to work. I think to myself, I'm already at work. I'm always at work as a dad. This is what I've always wanted. I'm tired, and now I'm hungry, and I am living my best life. I get into the house at 5:58 a.m. Arizona time, which is all that matters now. I finish some thoughts in my episode script. Then at 6:10, my son's alarm goes off. Time for school. Time for me to make breakfast. I make ham and eggs, a biscuit with butter and honey and hot chocolate. I put the bottle of raw honey into a pot of hot water on low heat and set the timer to 30 minutes because it's been shelved long enough that it's starting to crystallize. Well, we chit-chat while he eats his breakfast. The hot cocoa is too hot, too much. I add a little cool milk and pour half into my glass. It's really yummy with a biscuit and honey, by the way. We chit-chat over breakfast. It's usually something Mr. Esplin has taught him about water aquifers or history fact with Mayans or Aztecs. Well, this morning, it's about the sacrifices of women, periods, having babies, and body hair. His quote of the week last week was, "Dad, I've heard that having a baby is more painful than being kicked in the balls. Is that true?" "Well," I responded, "I wouldn't exactly know, son, but from what I've seen, it's definitely much more than having your cojones punted. So yes." He follows up with, "But it's still not okay for girls to kick you in the balls, right?" My goodness, the stuff kids will say in a safe, trusting environment. A few minutes later, as he is standing near the window in the living room checking his phone, which is thankfully now fully charged, he says, "Dad, quick, come look at the sunrise." Well, I don't think twice. I grab my phone, and on the way to the front door, I open up the camera, and yeah, it was worth it. Sputtering sprinklers, roosters crowing, morning birds warbling, 45 degrees, and the sky is on fire with color. You can find that pic and enjoy that moment with me from the video I posted on my podcast Instagram account at fyo.podcast. Now, speaking of fires, my son has this hoodie, which seems more like an adventurer's smoke jacket for preteens. Well, he puts on his worn and fragrant hoodie every morning before school. I've been trying to throw it away because he takes it on campouts every weekend. He has it all torn up, and it usually smells like campfire smoke. Well, last week, he couldn't find it, thankfully. So I found the coat, took it, sewed up all the holes, and made sure it didn't smell like a bonfire. After he found his jacket, he was grumbling about where his hat might be. The moment he found his hat, he scampered into the basement and out the walkout garage with his early birthday present bike. It's a fancy bike. Electric assist pedal bike. And I'm certain that Jeremiah, who sold me the bike, put super glue on the seat before he gave it to us because I haven't been able to get my son off of that bike since he got it. The first day, he drove at least 10 miles to the Chevron and back and around town several times. His dog, Hannah, follows him as he pedals off to the bus stop. I yell at her to stop and come back. She doesn't listen to me. He is her person. And she is his dog. If you've seen the movie Coco, you'll understand when I say that she is his Dante. They have this inseparable connection. And even when I am home on a day off, quote unquote, she whines at me like she is missing her other half and I'm not enough for her. I'm okay with that. It's just like a newborn child wants their mother more. I'm not offended by either because I'm a dad and that's how we do things. Well, after a few minutes, I realized that I should probably go check on Hannah, make sure that she doesn't hang out down by the bus stop, get into trouble, run over, whatever. We live in a very small country town, so it's not a huge risk. I just don't want her getting into trouble on the way home. So I drive around the town looking for her, whistling, asking the neighbor dogs if they've seen her. They say nothing. Rude. I say good morning to my sister-in-law and her girls as they drove off to school and work. I wave to my neighbor as she drives off to her teaching job, and then I return home to see the dog sitting on the lawn waiting for me. She must have taken a shortcut because I didn't see her. Well, I come into the house. The honey's still simmering. It needs 30 more minutes. So I add more water, reset the timer. I make myself some orange juice and pour myself a glass. Then I mix in a heaping scoop of my balance of nature, fiber, and spice. And I will definitely include a link in the show notes. I don't drink the fiber and spice because I'm 50 years young this year, but because my daughter, who works for them, gives me the healthy spiel, and I'm convinced. It makes the juice taste a lot like wassail to me. And I love wassail. Reminds me of my mother who passed away last year. Well, then I pet the dog, reassure her that her person will be back after school. She goes back outside and sits on the lawn where she chews things all day and waits for him to come home. And all that, and it's barely 7:30 a.m. All I can say is that it's a good thing I have the day off. You know, I don't go to work for the money. I go to work to get some rest. After such an unexpected and heavenly hellacious morning, what might my takeaways be? Good question. I guess what I would say is that dreams can really make your morning bizarre and meaningful. There is more than one Dante in the world. Miserable mornings can still be magical. Stay engaged and look for the magic. Being a daddy is just the most amazing thing ever for me. Being called daddy by a friend is really affirming and ennobling. Don't make it weird. And finally, as Gloria Gather says, God is in the interruptions of my life, and He's seldom in my plans.
Well, dad blasted, I sure enjoyed the visit today. If you gained something from it, be kind enough to follow us and leave a review. And do it right now. If you would, it'd sure be appreciated. Your comments have been so considerate and honestly left me blushing. And good night, those reviews make a big difference in the program's visibility. On the Apple platforms, you select the Go to Show option. And then click the circle plus sign at the top right to follow. Then scroll down below the episodes to leave some stars and a review. Them algorithms need all the help they can get, so as I could disrupt more good folks like you. So I tell you what, if you got a friend or three that you just don't like very much, well, share this podcast with them and let us bug them for a while. And if you have comments or suggestions for future discussions, well, don't just keep them to yourself. We'd love to hear from you. You could DM us on our Instagrams at fyo.podcast. And thank you.
Hi, are you still there? Remember to download the Family Tree app and see how you are related to the people from today's episode. All those links will be included in the show notes. Sometimes it's important to look a gift horse in the mouth. Your gift is your ancestry. Your superpower is their family history stories that make you. Not a one of us crawled out from under a rock, regardless of what you've been told. You have 4,094 grandparents, over 12 generations, with thousands of love stories, battles, difficulties, sadness, happiness, and expressions of hope for the future that allows you to be here today. We are the culmination of so many things we did not choose. It was designed that way. So be gentle with yourself and others. Take the time to learn yourself through your family history stories. There are innumerable tributaries flowing into the life experience that deceptively seems to be your own, but it's not. So think about that as you row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Russell M. Nelson stated, "When our hearts turn to our ancestors, something changes inside us. We feel part of something greater than ourselves." I concur. Thank you for joining me on another unbelievably true adventure. Find your family history superpower and activate it. Until the next time, bye.